This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C, and welcome to the Breakfast Grill. On the grill today is one of the world's leaders in on-demand financial management and human capital management software solutions provider, Workday. And in conversation, we have Sandeep Sharma, president of Workday Asia from Singapore. As one of the world's largest software providers on human capital solutions, what are the biggest HR problems your customers are asking you to solve now?
Oh, there are so many. But if I have to kind of take a step back and say, what's the most important thing on the minds of our customers and prospects at the moment, it is how do you retain talent? How do you engage the talent so that they can deliver greater outcomes? And I think in the context of what's happening in the world at the moment, with the, you might have heard about this thing called the Great Resignation. And there's a talk about 40% of employees looking to change as the pandemic kind of moves into the post-pandemic world. And so in this environment, how do you enable your employees to stay back? How do you engage and get the most out of them as they're working in a new way of working that is remote, hybrid, very different than what it was 20 months ago?
So as you say, right, so many new themes coming through, the Great Resignation, burnouts as a result of the pandemic, this continued war for talent, people are deciding and grappling between whether work from home. So how have Workday solutions evolved in response to the pandemic?
I think Workday solutions right from the get-go were built with a consumer internet experience in mind to bring the best out of employees. So think back to when you first got a cell phone. I think all of us can acknowledge the fact that the phones we have in our hand today are very different compared to the feature phone that we had 20 years ago. Now, just imagine as an employee, if you were to give your employees today a feature phone versus a smartphone, first of all, they'll think, man, I'm working in the wrong company because they don't want to invest in technology. They just want me to, you know, just use a feature phone. Yeah. And so when the art of possible allows you to use stuff today that is significantly evolved, it's a smartphone compared to a feature phone, right? So Workday's philosophy right from day one has been to enable a much, much simpler consumer internet experience for employees in the workplace. And therefore, you get the best out of these employees because they know the company's invested in them.
And I want you to help me contrast, right, this analogy you talk about of continually upgrading the phone. And I wonder if there's a big distinction between what you see in the United States, in the US, which is your core market, versus what you see in Asia. Are there different functionalities in the phone between what you see in Asia and the US?
I think at a higher level, generally speaking, there isn't. I think at the end of the day, employees are absolutely critical to any enterprise which exists out there. These employees need to be nurtured, cared for. Their future value proposition within an organization needs to be something that the employees can take care of themselves. So how you power their journey through an enterprise is essentially fundamentally the same, independent of which market around the world you're operating in. So just coming back to the analogy of the phone that I used, in that phone, you may have capabilities which continually come. And in today's environment, you want those upgrades to happen seamlessly. So previously with on-prem deployments, et cetera, what would happen is you'd have endless upgrade cycles. Employees would be stuck trying to figure out what system to use because there are siloed systems in place. Like just imagine having a feature function to make a phone call. Then your employer says, here's a TV. And if you want to watch videos, go to that TV and watch video. Or if you want to browse the internet, go to your computer and browse the internet rather than doing everything on one phone. And as functions evolve, you want these to be continuously upgraded and updated without any impact to the organization. So the model, the paradigm has completely changed from what it was before, and it's independent of the geography. In fact, I would say, I'd go that far and say that Asia actually innovates at a faster pace compared to the rest of the world because the diversity of the different countries over here, they demand more out of companies like Workday compared to the Western world.
What are their biggest demands in Asia? Is it things like performance management or manpower planning? or compensation benefits, payroll? What are the biggest demands your Asian customers place on you that are unique to Asia?
I think that a geography perspective, the number one kind of aspect which is fundamentally different in this part of the world is if you have multinationals which are operating across multiple countries, which is very common in Asia, the cultural nuances and how you manage those cultural nuances in a manner that brings out very unique perspectives for each country while still adhering to a corporate standard. This, I think, is one area which is very unique to Asia, especially for multinationals operating across multiple countries, which I think is the case for many of our customers in this part of the world.
More than half of Fortune 500 companies are users of Workday. Do you see the trend in Asia where it's actually the larger businesses that are taking the lead? Or are you seeing the emergence of smaller media enterprises, more entrepreneurial units engaging you for these kind of solutions?
I think it's a mix. And to be honest, we are privileged to have more than 50% of the Fortune 500 using Workday solutions. But we have more than 9,000 customers globally. And in fact, just last week, in Singapore, one of the most recent fintechs over here has selected Workday. They're a brand new company which is just coming into existence, and they're powering their journey. And I think if you look back and look at companies like Grab, they are very big at the moment, but they started using Workday when they were very small, right? So I think if you're a company looking to actually accelerate, you're challenging the norms in the market. You're looking to not be hindered by what's hindering your competition. You want to start down a path which is very different than those feature phones that many of their competitors are running on. You equip with smartphones, you path a completely new trajectory for the organization.
So Sandeep, you know, you talk to many clients, and I want to get your insight, because to be honest, right, everyone says employees are their number one priority. I mean, it's textbook. Everyone says it. So how do you look at a company and know whether someone is genuinely really saying that employees are their number one priority, or are they just paying lip service? How do you know, based on your interactions with all the clients you have in Asia?
Such a great question. And I feel so privileged to be working at Workday, where employees are our number one core value. And I live it over here, and I know what it feels like. And so when I'm talking to a customer, it's very easy to ascertain if they're paying lip service or not by the fact of whether they look at employees as a cost center or a revenue center. I know that because it again comes back to what you're equipping your employees with. Are you investing in your employees? Are you ensuring that they have the right tools to succeed? Are you giving them a feature phone? Are you giving them the ability to understand and power their journey through the organization based on analytics and a consumer internet experience? Are you elevating their performance? And at the end of the day, it is very, very important for organizations to understand that while customers are very important, customers are not being serviced by buildings. They are serviced by employees. And if you don't equip your employees with the right tools, with the right capabilities to power themselves through the organization, they're not going to either remain behind in the organization. So that's what leads to the resignation wave, or they're not going to do the right thing by the end customer. So at Workday, employees is our number one core value, and customer service is equally important for us, right? So between the two, we demonstrate how our employees, we take care of employees and how they in turn take care of customers. And that investment is right from the top. So for example, this Friday, we have a Thank You Friday at Workday. The whole company is off on Friday. And this is the sixth Friday we're going to get off this year. And we have another three or four coming up in the months ahead. And that allows us to also know as employees that the company is fully invested in our success. We know that it's not just lip service.
So I want to push you a bit on this from this perspective of investing, right, in HR systems. And I get it why people do it. But sometimes when you want to measure the outcomes of employee satisfaction, employee productivity and outcome, it's a confluence of so many things, right? It's just not only the system in mind. And so is that the reason why you think in Asia, people tend to invest in other systems like finance, procurement, logistics, supply chain, and generally HR systems are generally at the back of the burner?
I don't think so. I mean, I think these are, and by the way, Workday does more than just HR systems. We are providing finance systems, procurement systems. So we have a complete suite of solutions, which we refer to as the backbone of the high metabolic organization, right? And so in providing that backbone, from an investment perspective, it just comes down to if your employees feel that they are not able to reduce their cycle times. What do I mean by cycle times? What do I mean by a high metabolic organization? You take any processes within an enterprise and you say, if it took me a year before or a month or a quarter, how do I do it faster? And if this pandemic has taught us anything, it is that the rate of change in the world is accelerating. And for us to overcome the gap between what is required to be successful versus the resources that we have on hand, we have to operate at a much, much, much faster cycle time. So how do you reduce? So take an example. If it takes you a year to put an annual operating plan, there is no concept of an annual operating plan anymore. Right, the plans are changing on a weekly basis, sometimes continuously. But if you go and tell your finance department, for example, produce me an operating plan overnight, and they say, listen, it takes me 6 months to put an operating plan together, are they going to be able to survive? Now, if the employees don't fundamentally have the opportunity of reducing cycle times, they don't experience that, why would they stay? So in the context of that, we think of customers as looking back and saying, do we have the right technology framework to retain employees, to have them be more productive in an environment which has fundamentally changed around them?
On The Breakfast Grill today, we have Sandeep Sharma, President of Workday Asia from Singapore. We'll be back after these messages.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On The Grill today is Sandeep Sharma, President of Workday Asia. Now, we started the grill earlier on with this whole theme of great resignation. But Sandeep, is it really a great resignation? Is there such a thing as that?
Absolutely, Philip. Absolutely. And if you look at Singapore, for example, right now, there are 163 job openings for every 100 applicants. So you can imagine how extreme the need is for companies to hire. Even at Workday, we have more than 100 openings available. And so on a daily basis, the number of resumes we are getting is incredible. And so it's not just a research from analysts, but what we are seeing ourselves in the market and what the local country statistics are also proving. It very much is the case. If you're not careful, you're going to end up losing talent.
So let's just go back to the root cause, because one of the things that Workday does do quite a lot of is invest in technology, and you invest quite a lot in machine learning. Can you predict whether someone is going to resign?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to give you an example, at Workday, every week, we are actually pulsing all employees. Just three simple questions. How are you feeling about this? How are you doing with that? Et cetera, et cetera. And just based on the responses coming back from the employees, we can figure out, prescribe what employees, by analytics, what employees are in danger of resigning, right? So we can actually look around the corner by looking at these analytics. And not just that, that analytics is also driving how the managers are supposed to become better. So analytics is identifying a risk in a certain area. Managers know that that risk is it. There's also the opportunity for the manager to get better by learning something new about a skill that the manager does not have, that the team is saying that I'm getting really, really irritated working in this team because of what my manager is doing. At the end of the day, Philip, employees don't leave companies, they leave people.
But the issue you have is that you have the algorithms and the systems, but it requires the analytics. And I really wonder and worry whether Asian businesses are equipped to analyze the data, because you may have the inputs, but if they don't have the competency to take the data, own it, that's going to be a challenge, isn't it? So how do you work with your Asian customers, not only on HR matters, but on all other systems to make sure that they make full use of the systems that you provide to them?
And the way to do that is to ensure that the human touch is reduced as much as possible in the analytics. And so that is where AI and machine learning comes in, because you've got millions and millions of data points, and you're actually moving beyond predictive to prescriptive analytics. You're actually saying not just the insight, but what action to take, right? So if a manager knows that I have employee A, B, and C, and these employees are not happy at the moment for reasons X, Y, and Z, then I know exactly what I'm supposed to do to take care of those employees. So the intent is not about trying to get managers and organizations to try to make sense of the data themselves. That is where you have to derive and deploy AI and machine learning, which Workday has at the core of what we do.
You know, you offer systems and solutions beyond HR and human capital, because you also offer finance-driven. And I believe in terms of your numbers, 20 to 30% of your revenue is already for finance systems. Correct me if I'm wrong. What's the goal in 5 years' time? How much will finance systems account for your total revenue?
Yeah, it's difficult to give an exact breakdown in terms of what the revenue would be between the different components. I think in general, Workday is on a very, very aggressive growth trend from $4.5 billion in annual revenue at the moment. Our goal is to get to $10 billion over the next 3 odd years. So the way you think about Workday is we are the backbone of the high metabolic organization. That backbone that delivers management of the two most key assets that an organization has, people and money. And across these two assets, we enable organizations to target and acquire their third most important asset, which is customers. All right. And so you can imagine, Philip, I have a back which sometimes has some pain. And so when I have back pain, I barely can get up. And similarly, organizations which don't have a strong backbone, they cannot run at a high speed. And so if you put in a strong backbone to support your people and money, you can enable the organizations to run at a very, very high speed. And so Workday, in its very inception, right from day one, while we started the journey with human capital, we very quickly also included finance as part of that, because money and finance come together. You can imagine what one of the biggest spend items for an organization is. It's people. And so it intrinsically is linked together.
How many of your customers actually subscribe to both human capital and finance systems?
We have quite a few customers globally who are subscribing to both, more than 1,000. We don't get into exact breakdown of numbers, but we have quite a few of our customers globally that are subscribing to both, including in the region and Asia as well.
And I always wonder, is it easier to sell them a human capital system and then transition to finance, or the other way around?
It just depends on a customer environment. We have customers which have started to replace both. We have customers which have started with finance and moved to human capital. And we have customers who have started with human capital and moved to finance. So all of those journeys are possible. And with our experience in the industry, for us, it's really not a question of where you start from. We are more pivoted on where the organization needs to be. And then together, collaboratively, focusing on the core value of customer service, having that journey for our customers.
And you were mentioning that you do quite a lot of work in Asia, but looking at your numbers still, non-US still accounts for 25% of your revenue. So US is still significantly your largest market, right, at about 75%. Where do you see Asia's contribution to the portfolio in 3-5 years' time?
I think there is significant blue ocean in front of us. And you rightly mentioned, Philip, that the international markets are still a smaller part of Workday's overall revenue. And that just tells you how big the opportunity is in front of us. Just take Malaysia for an example. We just have a lot of opportunity in Malaysia. And while we have large customers like Maxis or Sime Darby Group, and Sime Darby Group, even though it's headquartered out of Malaysia, it's operating in 18 odd countries with 20,000 employees. And so essentially, we have the ability of just using these references to expand quite dramatically. Hong Leong Bank is another great example, right? So we already have good existing references, and they are serving as a base for us to go even deeper into the country. And I think as Malaysia also kind of emerges from the pandemic, the national plan which has been put together is quite clearly identifying digitalization as a very, very significant driver for agility in the economy. And Workday is at the right place at the right time to help power that.
So let's say I'm an entrepreneur. I built my business from scratch 20, 30 years, right? I've been using SAP or Oracle for the past 10 years. What's your pitch to me? You know, why would someone transition from these legacy systems to a system like yourself? What differentiates you from many of your competitors?
It's a great question. And I think at the early part of the conversation, we talked about a smartphone versus a feature phone. And the distinction between the legacy ERP of the past and a modern born in the cloud environment like Workday is as clear as that, right? So historically, some of the systems that you've deployed, the transformation is not really transformation. You're literally just moving what you have on-prem to the cloud and calling that transformation. That is not transformation. Transformation is realizing faster cycle times. What used to take you a year before, can you do that continuously? Only Workday is proven to deliver that value. And we have customer, we are very, very proud of our 97% customer satisfaction, which is born out of our employee first experience and customer first service. And with that 97% customer satisfaction, we have delivered those higher cycle times. So if you're looking to really fundamentally change and transform, you cannot continue doing what you've done in the past, right? Saying I'm going to move from one feature phone to another feature phone and call that digital transformation is not digital transformation. You really have to deconstruct and reconstruct back the vision of where you're headed.
So there will be a lot of pressure for you to even shorten the cycle times substantially over a period of time. I'm sure this is not a static time. There will be a pressure to keep on reducing it. And that's where the question about how you innovate and basically build capabilities within Workday. And one thing I've observed is that you guys have been on a buying spree. You bought Zimit, you bought Peakon, you bought Scout, right? What is the strategy in deciding whether you grow something organically or purchase businesses out there?
For us, the cycle time being shortened is something that we continue to work on, right? I mean, we want to make sure that we are delivering that agility on an ongoing basis to customers. And at the end of the day, innovation, one of the things you talk about, is also a core value for Workday, just like employees and customer service. So innovation is at the heart of what our products are delivering. And as they evolve the product strategy, we look at our customers to give us feedback in areas that we need to either do some small tuck-in acquisitions to kind of integrate those back into the product or organically grow capabilities. Our customer base is actually driving the strategy for us. And it's a very vibrant customer base. We have customer forums around the world and they inform our strategy for product evolution.
But would it be fair to say that this is not really a response to you also having a war of talent where it's hard to attract and hire people? As a result, maybe the easier path is to just buy businesses with the talent in place already.
It's not in response to that. I mean, I think it is more generally to maybe round out some areas of product strategy. And sure, I mean, the talent which comes across is also great talent. And I mean, obviously for Workday, the talent is also a big driver to retain the talent. And I mean, we proud ourselves on the fact that this talent continues to stay with the company post-acquisition for several years, right? And many of our acquisitions, the talent is still here. But the driver is really to make sure that the customer requirement is met. Right, we're delivering more value to reduce those cycle times as we just discussed.
On The Breakfast Grill today, we have Sandeep Sharma, President of Workday Asia. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.